Today on Roadmap to Success with Pastor Neil.
Because Jesus is Logos, our lives have order. Your life is not in chaos. So when you find chaos, you have a right to say in Jesus' name, this chaos must cease.
In this week's lesson from the book of John, Pastor Neil teaches about Jesus the Word. John 1 tells us, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Pastor Neil says, when we speak of Jesus as the Word, we're talking about the very heartbeat of creation, the Logos. He is the source of all things, the sustainer, the one who holds everything together, and the purpose behind it all. If Jesus is the creative Logos, your life is not random. It was spoken into existence by divine intention. He is the breath of life, the light who stepped into our darkness, the bridge between in the beginning and whatever you're facing right now. Let's lean in and listen to Pastor Neil with today's message, Jesus the Word.
Today we want to focus on Jesus the Word. Jesus the Word. All right. So John chapter 1, let's start from verse 1. We'll read verse 1 for now, and I'll go through a few things, and then we'll come back. So read with me, shall we, everybody? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. How many times does the word Word appear? Three times. Last week you understood. So we are observing. We are observing that the word Word has been used how many times? More than everything in there. That gives you an idea that the writer wants us to focus on the word what? Word. And that is our focus today. So under observation, John calls Jesus the Word. All right? Now, the Greek word I'm interpreting now, the Greek word that has been translated word in our English Bible is the word Logos. If you wanted to write it in Greek, I've put it up there too for you. And it is in transliteration. When I say transliteration, it is another way of helping you pronounce the word if you are not from Greece. Okay? So that the English Bible translates the word Logos as word. Everybody say word. You must understand that the Old Testament was written in Hebrew. The New Testament was written in what? Greek. So sometimes when we are in doubt of what something means, you need to go back and locate what the actual Greek word that was translated mean. I have heard many people preach this verse, and they preach a lot of error. Because the word translated word, it is true. In basic or everyday Greek, the use of the word logos could be word. Everybody say word. Number two, it could also be interpreted as speech. Number three, explanation. Number four, an expression of a thought. So for example, as I stand here, my words are expressing my what? Do you agree? All right. And in its basic form, logos refers to an expression that communicates what is inside the mind. Did you hear that? Right. Two. Logos refers to an expression that communicates what is inside the mind. So what is inside my mind can only be expressed through my words. And it is the definition for the word what? Logos. Okay? Now, if you look at the definition in English, word, which we find in our Bible, and it's an expression of what is inside an entity's mind, you would then assume that Jesus is only an expression in God's mind. But is he that? This is why we need to be careful. The word logos can also mean speech. Is Jesus a speech? Is he? Uh-huh. He is not. He's way beyond that. But can Jesus actually also be an expression of God? Yeah. But is he just that? No. So for us to fully understand the word, I need to take you into what is called Greek thought, because we read in English, but John wrote in Greek. And he borrowed a term that if we follow only the English definition of the word, logos, we will miss it. So I want to take you into Greek talk. Anybody ready to do Greek philosophy this morning? I need you to follow me because it's important. Very, very important. I know some of you are waiting. How is this thing going to affect my bills? I will get there. I will get there. But let's lay some foundation. Are you with me? All right. The Greeks were one of the most powerful people on the face of the earth in terms of learning and ideas and things that our world goes through. And they were in pursuit of two things. Write it down. They were in search of what is called the arche truth. The word arche, out of which we get the English word arch. So you will see, for example, if there are bishops, there is what? An arch what? Bishop. Okay? If there are enemies, there is what? An arch enemy. Anytime you see the prefix arch, it comes from that word arche. What it means is that it means the beginning. So when John was actually writing in Greek, he was actually saying en arche ho en logos, in the beginning, because he's deeply involved in Greek thought. Are you with me? The Greeks were saying that when they look at life, they realize that there are a lot of human beings. Some are white, as we claim. Some are chocolate. Some are whatever. They can see trees, different kinds of trees. There are different kinds of water bodies. There are a lot of things you see. And sometimes it comes across as if there is chaos. So the Greeks, where they were investigating, is everything in life just about being random or chaos? Is there no order to things in life? What is the archaic truth? What is the ultimate truth that brings everything together? That was their pursuit. So they asked questions like, what is the ultimate truth or the ultimate reality? How do things come together? Then they also investigated the relationship between one and many. Everybody say one and many. When you take, for example, the term university is unity in diversity. When there are a lot of knowledge, how do you bring it together into one place to make it coherent? That is what the Greeks were about. And honestly, that's what America is about, because democracy is a Greek thinking. Are you with me? The concept of the fact that is one person in control, like a king, or is a lot of things. So they began to come up with all kinds of ideas. If you look at the pre-Socrates philosophers, they came up with the concept of arche, that we must have an ultimate truth. Then the Platos, and then all the others began to come up with different kinds of ideas. There were those who came up with ideas about the fact that everything in life is about the water, it's about fire, it is about air. If you don't breathe, you would die. So gradually, all of those thoughts put together brought us into what is called two schools of thought. Everybody say two schools of thought. All right. The first school of thought is that there is not one ultimate truth. It has to be many. Because if you take a seed, it is one seed. But then all kinds of trees come out of it. So if you say that everything flows out of one thing, it is not right. It has to be many. Because the rivers don't flow out of the seed. It is only trees that comes out of the seed. Then they talk about atoms and molecules and all the other things. Even when you come to the human body, the muscles and then the tendons and all the other little pieces. So they came up with a concept that the whole universe must not necessarily flow out of one thing. It is many. Then there were others who felt that no, the universe flows out of one thing. It is one thing that controls everything else. For example, the same way the seed controls all trees, there has to be that one particular thing that controls every one of them. Two philosophers, one of them is called the Heteclos. They came with the concept that there is what is called a systematic random design for nature. Everything flows out of one. But later on, the Stoic philosophers, you read Stoics in the book of Acts. Read the Bible, pay attention. The Stoic philosophers were the ones who came up with the concept that it is not just the fact that everything flows out of order, but there is a divine order. And they were the ones who came up with the concept of logos. Everybody say logos. If you take Plotinus, if you take some of the Aristotelians, they came up with the concept of nous. Nous simply means that everything flows out of the mind. But does everything flow out of the mind? The answer is no. And so you notice that the later philosophers were more closer. So John is writing, the Greek language is the most well-known language at the time. So what language do you think John should be writing with? He used the language that is well known. And he borrows a terminology that actually explains the worldview of the time. And it is the word what? Logos. So what is John actually saying? John is saying through John chapter 1 verse 1 that the universe does not flow from one thing, but it flows from one person. Did you get it? This one person, he says, is Jesus. Nobody else but what? Jesus. He goes on to say that the universe is not at random. Somebody created it. So he put order in place. When we start reading, you will see why John says he created all things. Because he's making an argument from that initial word. And I wanted you to understand the Greek thought behind it. Are you guys with me? Are you lost? Okay. John is saying there's a relationship between everything else. If there are atoms, I think it was Democritus who brought the concept of atoms, right? And Newton and others brought the whole concept of what? Read. But what I want you to see is that John borrows a term from Greek philosophers to make a truth known. The term he borrows says that even though some of you think that all of creation is in randomness and there is chaos, there's actually no chaos. Are you following me? I want to state the three things he's doing. It means that there is a creator who created things. Things did not come out of a bung. That statement John made, he's actually attacking the Big Bang theory. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word is divine. He says, this person who controls all things, he's God. This person that I call Logos, he borrows the term. He is not only divine, but he was there when the Father was creating all things. And everything else was created what? Through him. So nothing is random. Did you get it? Number two, he's saying that not just that everything is random, he is in charge. And he holds all things by the power. He's quoting scriptures again because Paul quotes that. He holds all things by the power of his hands. So later on we will read, you notice how he says that people did not receive him, but as many as what? Received that word, that logos, the one that makes all things come together. He says, what would he do? He gave them the right to become what? the children of. So John introduces a new concept into Greek mythology. That, yeah, you guys think it is a thing, but it is a person. It is a person who brings all things together. It is a person who controls all the randomness that you talk about. But things are not random. Things are in order. Are you guys with me? If gravity brings everything down, how can planes fly? That's how you know that there is order. Because the law of lift that makes planes lift up when they pass the avionic barrier supersedes gravity at a certain speed. If you sat in your own car on the highway and you drove very fast past the entire speed limit on the car, you will notice that your car is what? Lifting. A good study of the laws that God has put in nature will make life better. The only reason for which we can fly is because some people took their time. You see, they didn't create it. They only discovered what God has put into motion. The Greek philosophers did not come up with logos. They were trying to understand what God has made. And John says, let me borrow the very term that you guys are using to explain to you that the universe does not come together because of a thing or a principle, but it comes together because of what? A person. Did you copy that? All right, there are three things I want you to write down. Life has meaning. Because Jesus is the Logos, life has what? The universe is not random. It is not what? Random. Most of the philosophers taught that if everything in life seemed to be chaotic, then you cannot even find knowledge. But in any quest, do we always find knowledge? We find knowledge because things are not chaotic. And it was the Greek philosophers who actually came up with the idea that they don't believe that it's chaotic. So there has to be some principle, someone that is holding things together. And John says, what you say that you don't understand, I borrow it to explain a much bigger issue to you. That what you call a principle, it is actually Jesus. What you call a thing that holds things together is Jesus. So I want you to be careful so that you don't limit the concept of logos being explained as the word just to this. It has something to do with this, but it's more than that. Are you guys with me? I'll deal with that when I get to the end. And the third thing John says is that because Jesus is Logos, our lives have order. Your life is not in chaos. So when you find chaos, you have a right to say in Jesus' name, this chaos must cease. But he tells us that when your life is aligned with the Logos, with the Word, with Jesus, then that is where there's order in your life. Anything outside that is disorder. Did you get that? With that in mind, now we are going to read. Everybody go to John chapter 1. Now that you understand. So that you understand John's argument when he's talking, what is he saying? He says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So he tells us that this person, not principle, who holds all things together, this Logos is God. Everybody say the Logos is God. Verse 2, he was with God in the beginning. In other words, he is eternal. Everybody say he is eternal. It says, through him all things were made, and without him nothing was made that was made. So he says, this person who holds all, this person that the Greeks are looking for, that they think it's a principle, he is a person, he is not only God, he is not only eternal, but he's also the creator of the things they worry about. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made, and without him was not anything made that was made. Look at verse 4. He said, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. In other words, the Logos is a life giver. Now, let me start putting it together for you to know what John is doing. He's telling the Greek philosophers and the Hebrew people that what the Greek philosophers think about the fact that our universe is in some form of randomness, there is no randomness. Everything was planned by God. And he put everything into place. It is not a principle, it is a person. That person can be personified in the Logos. And he tells them that this Logos is not only God, and he's not only eternal, but he is actually the creator. The things you worry about, he created them. Then he goes on to say, he does not only create, he also gives life. Didn't the Bible says, and God breathed on them the breath of life, and man became a living soul. It is not the oxygen that gives you life. It is the breath of God that gives you life. So I wanted you to understand what John is doing. John is bringing a lot of stuff together in those few verses. He says, I am not going to talk about what he did, the miracles he did. I want to show you that he is eternal. He is the Logos. This Logos, the one that holds all, if you want to take a proper definition of Logos, is he is the source, the sustainer, and the purpose of everything that exists. So sometimes you hear people quote this verse and say, oh, the word Logos means express thought. Yeah, in a sense. But Jesus is not an expression of God's thought. He is God. Because the Bible says in the beginning he was with God. So he's not just a thought. He's God. He's there. Are you with me? In him was life. And the life was the light of men. In other words, the Logos is a life giver. The next thing we see is that the Logos is one. He says, verse 5, the light shines in darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. So he says, Jesus is the true light. Everybody say, Jesus is the true light. Now, if you go to the book of Genesis chapter 1, you will notice that the Bible says, on a particular day, God made two great light. Then he says the greater was to rule the day and the lesser was to rule the night. If Jesus is the real light and you get your light from him, he is the greater light and you are the lesser light. What I want you to see in application, I've not reached there, but let's make that, is that the greater light was to rule the day and the lesser light was to rule the night. It means you have been designed to rule all the powers of darkness. Stop praying for daylight. He sets you up to deal with the night seasons and to be able to function in such a way that nothing should stand in your way. Stop crying over demons. They cannot overcome you. You have been designed to rule there. The lesser light was to rule the night. I understand this thing more than I can explain it. He is the true light. But let's look at how human beings dealt with him, because John is making an argument not only to the Hebrew mind but also to the philosophical mind of the Greeks. He says he came unto his own and his own did not receive him. Who were they? The Hebrew people, the Jews. But as many as receive him, he says, you Greeks, if you will receive him, then he gives you power to become what? The children of God. But what challenges the Hebrew mind is that this Logos, who is God, who is eternal, who is the creator, who gives life, who does all these things, John says, he became man and the word became flesh. Oh, glory be to Jesus. The Logos is divine. The Logos is eternal. The Logos is creative, or the creator. The Logos is a life giver. The Logos is the true light. And the Logos is with you. He is with you. Tell the person sitting next to you, he is with me. Can you believe the eternal God is with you? Emmanuel, God with us. And the Word became what? Come on. And the Word became flesh. All right, now let's correlate. So if Jesus is the eternal Logos, then it means Jesus is the source, he is a sustainer, and he is the purpose of everything that exists. Number two, if Jesus is the creative Logos, then your life is not random. It was spoken into existence by divine intention. Your father and your mother may not have planned for you, but God. Pastor, what about the one that came through the test tube? It doesn't matter how you came. God has a plan for you. Pastor, did you just say it's okay for us to go have one? The answer is no. Because children must always be have in the context of a marriage relationship. Turn with me to the book of Psalms 139. I'll read this from the Living Bible because I think it captures the thoughts very well. Can you read with me, shall we, please, everybody? Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. It is amazing to think about. Your workmanship is marvelous, and how well I know it. Pause for a second. He said, God has made us marvelously what? Complex. Yeah, human beings, we are complex. Do you realize that my fingerprints can never match anybody else's fingerprints? So what the law enforcement does, they didn't create anything. They only discovered that God has made us in such a way that every 8 billion of us is unique. What a God we have. So John is telling the Greek philosophers, it is not a thing that holds it. It is this dude who created the 8 billion, make sure that none of our fingerprints cross. He is the one behind everything. And that is the God you serve. Why then do you always behave as if life is over? Tell the person sitting next to you, ain't over until it God says it's over. All right, back to Psalm 139. Look at verse 15. You were there while I was being formed in the utter seclusion. Verse 16, all of us. Please, read with me, shall we? Go. You saw me before I was born and scheduled each day of my life before I began to breathe. Every day was recorded. I want to unpack this verse. You saw me before I was born. Maybe there is a parent who went to dump you in a dumpster because they don't want to see you, but God Almighty saw you before you were born. Maybe there is a husband who acts as if you don't exist, but God saw you before you were born. Maybe you are here and your parents don't want to see you, but God sees you. He says, you saw me before I was born and you scheduled each day of my life. Raise your right hand, say that of me. My life is on schedule. No. You are talking as if you don't understand. My life is on what? Schedule. And it's not a schedule that we put in the calendars we carry. There is a divine scheduler. Who has scheduled your life? Oh, glory be to God. God has scheduled my life. He says, in this year, you may go through X, Y, Z, but you are coming out of it, and I'm going to place you here. So weeping may endure for a night, but joy has been scheduled to show up the next morning. Are you understanding where we're going? You don't need to allow anything to put you down because God Almighty scheduled it before you could breathe. So in other words, before you were born, you were scheduled.
Thank you for joining us on this spiritual encounter. Need more help? Text RADIO to 301-696-8555 or visit us on the web at covenantfamilychapel.org. You may also visit us at one of our in-person services on Sundays at 10 a.m. and discover the difference that the kingdom of God makes. Like up on social media, YouTube, Facebook, TikTok, Twitter, and Instagram, all at Covenant One Family.